Good evening. In the news tonight, fast food workers staged a strike for union rights and $15 an hour for all workers nationwide. The Justice Department asked the Supreme Court to save President Obama's immigration plan. Members of New York State's congressional delegation push a proposal to alleviate Puerto Rico's debt crisis. Under pressure, the Egyptian government released human rights defender Hossam Bagat. Alan Toussaint, fixture of New Orleans R&B, has died. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is the news for Tuesday, November 10th, 2015.
We are the workers!
We are the workers!
The mighty, mighty workers!
The mighty, mighty workers!
Governor Andrew Cuomo today announced that his administration is raising the minimum wage for state workers to $15 an hour. This as fast food workers walked off the job today in hundreds of cities across the country. They kicked off a year-long campaign to hone in on the political power of 64 million low-wage workers in next year's presidential election. In Brooklyn and in Harlem, out in the rain, workers linked their struggles.
So we're going to start off, we're going to do 4.5 minutes of silence in honor of all the victims of police brutality and of other state violence.
And we're out here today to show solidarity with the workers, especially black workers, because most of the people that we're marching here today for are people of color.
Calvin is part of the Black Youth Project 100.
A lot of my family members are low-wage workers, fast food workers, a lot of my friends are, and a lot of us are being displaced from our homes. Because we cannot afford to live here anymore because of these low wages. And also we're being terrorized by police. And I wanted to come here in order to link those two struggles, the struggle against police violence and the struggle for $15 in the union.
Jim Shillicup is with the Utilities Workers Union, Local 1-2.
Here in New York, it should be a union town. And if we don't stick together, we won't achieve anything. So together we can achieve many things, and $15 an hour is barely enough, but it's a start towards a living wage.
Ann Mitchell is a former union organizer with SEIU. SEIU is the union which is pushing for the $15 an hour minimum wage for all workers.
The fight for fair wages, the fight for raising the minimum wage, so that low-wage workers, and it's not just fast food workers, we got domestic workers, we have home care workers. All of them are low-paid, low-wage workers, so we're fighting for that increase, and that's why I'm out here.
Damian Brown is from the island of Jamaica. He works at Subway. He's very excited to be at a rally for fair wages for workers.
Especially I'm here, and my family's back in Jamaica, so it's like they're all depending on me. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, hard, but, you know, to see something like this and to fight for it, it's pretty amazing.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. The Obama administration is trying to get the Supreme Court to save the president's plan to shield as many as 5 million immigrants living in the country illegally from deportation. This after a lower court blocked it from going forward yesterday. Nick Katz is supervising immigration attorney with Make the Road New York.
I mean, this ruling is disappointing to all immigrants who stand to benefit from these programs, but we believe it offers an opportunity for the Department of Justice to appeal this to the Supreme Court, where we're confident that on the law that we have a strong standing here, and legal authorities have recognized that presidents throughout history have engaged in this type of executive action and prosecutorial discretion with regard to immigration and other matters.
New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito issued a statement saying it's sad that anti-immigrant activists and Republicans continue to block the president's common sense plan, as well as any attempt at comprehensive immigration reform. I am confident, she said, that we will ultimately prevail. A federal appeals court says that Louisiana can keep Angola 3 inmate Albert Woodfox in jail and continue plans to try him a third time for the 1972 murder of a prison guard. Monday night's 2-1 decision by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reverses a June order by U.S. District Judge James Brady. Brady had ordered Woodfox's immediate release, and he had barred a third trial, saying the state could not try Woodfox fairly more than than 40 years after the killing. Woodfox is the last still incarcerated member of a group that supporters dubbed the Angola Three for their decades-long stays in isolation at the Louisiana Penitentiary at Angola and other state prisons. Congress sent President Obama a $607 billion defense policy bill. The White House says the president will sign it, even though it bans moving Guantanamo Bay detainees to the U.S. Spokesperson Josh Earnest says Obama's decision to sign the bill does not change his position about wanting to close the prison, which he says is the right decision.
The position of the administration is strongly backed by the national security establishment in Washington, and these are people who have spent a lot of time thinking about what's the best way to protect the country. And I think it's up to Democrats and Republicans who are blocking our efforts to explain why they think what they're doing is somehow in the best interest of national security, when a lot of our foremost leading foreign policy thinkers don't agree.
In international news, former West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, who guided his country through economic turbulence and Cold War tensions, died today at his home in Hamburg. He was 96 years old. Schmidt, a center-left social democrat, led the former West Germany from 1974 to 1982. Egypt's military released a leading investigative journalist and human rights advocate today. He was detained under accusations of spreading false news harmful to national security. Don DeBar has more.
Hassan Bagat was released hours before planned demonstrations were set to take place in Cairo, London, and other cities calling for his freedom, and hours after UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for his release. Sunday morning, Egyptian military intelligence summoned Bagat for questioning about a recent report he had published describing criminal convictions against 26 military officers for plotting a coup. He had been detained since. Bagat is the founder of the Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights. He writes in English and Arabic for the online news organization Mada Masr. That news publication said upon his release, he signed a document saying he would abide by the law when writing about the military. Don DeBar, WBAI News, New York.
Members of New York State's congressional delegation are pushing a proposal to alleviate Puerto Rico's debt crisis in an omnibus bill which must be passed to keep the federal government operating. Congressmember Nydia Velasquez says it provides the relief Puerto Rico needs.
Puerto Rico enjoyed bankruptcy protection from 1933 to 1984 when Congress passed reform on bankruptcy. They excluded the territories. So what we are saying is that Congress changed the rules of the game in terms of Puerto Rico. The other element that is so important is Puerto Ricans, as American citizens, they pay the same taxes that we here pay regarding Medicare and Medicaid, and therefore they are entitled to parity when it comes to allocation of federal funding that will allow for Puerto Rico to have access to quality health care.
President Obama's proposal includes allowing Puerto Rico to file for bankruptcy and to ensure that the island receives Medicaid funding on par with the states. That proposal is stalled in Congress. This effort is to force it through next month. Finally, Alan Toussaint, the legendary songwriter, producer, arranger, and performer, died of a heart attack on Monday. This while he was on tour in Europe. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducted Toussaint as a member in 1998. They said his greatest contribution was in not allowing the city's old school R&B traditions to die out, but by keeping pace with developments in the evolving worlds of soul and funk. In addition, they said he brought the New Orleans sound to the national stage, where it remains a vital and ongoing part of our musical heritage to this day. Toussaint was 77 years old. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.